Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Matt Bove from It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. This NFL offseason, we can fit 25 hours in a day, and that's because of podcasts. They make you more productive. When you're folding laundry, paying bills, making omelets, or any other task that you've got to get done, listen while you work. Do your chores and be entertained all at the same time. It's all about the bills, the news, insight, analysis, and of course, some jokes too, on demand, so it fits into your busy schedule. Follow the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
I feel like I almost have to talk with an Australian accent and say, good day, mate, or however it might be. Hey, back. And I didn't really go far because we were here talking about the Diggs trade like less than a week ago, and it's always game day in Buffalo. But now back here and digesting it all. I did miss the eclipse, though, Matt Bove. How was it?
It was really cool. I thought it was overblown for a while, but to be here for it and just all of a sudden in the middle of the day, it just get pitch black outside and all the automatic lights turn on was really something that I probably will never forget. But when you said you didn't go very far, I was like, no, Sal, you quite literally went about as far as you can go across the globe, even though we did record a podcast from you in Brisbane.
Yes, we did. Now I am back. It was a very long flight back, 14 hours from Brisbane to Vancouver, another four from Vancouver to Toronto. I missed a whole day. It was beautiful out in Buffalo, but we're back in the saddle. We're ready to talk about the draft. We're ready to talk about how the Buffalo Bills put the pieces together in the post-Stephon Diggs era. And here to do it with us today on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo is our good friend, Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy. Faraz, thanks for doing this today, man. We really appreciate it.
Of course. I'm excited to talk Bills. There's a lot going on. You know, Diggs being traded while you are on vacation, man. And you know, that's a crazy thing to happen while Sal is on vacation. Okay. First of all, like, the Bills need to wait till Sal's back. Okay.
Yes, I agree Diggs, with bro. That. But you know, this is the business we're in. We always had Matt and I had great stories. We'd actually did an episode one time where we talked about the things that happen while, you know, we're just doing our life, because this is the business we're in, right? You too. I mean, something happens while you're somewhere doing something. For example, literally driving to my anniversary dinner with my wife, and I get an alert that Tyrod Taylor was traded. Literally walking into a Tux and Pucks game for the Sabres, wearing a tux, New Year's Eve, get an alert that Doug Marrone opted out of his deal and the Bills need a new coach. And the next day, New Year's Day, it's time to go to work. I mean, I'm sure you have stories like that too, Faraz.
That's absolutely insane, man. Yeah, of course. You know, I'm with my kids at the park. I got to, you know, do a quick Instagram story, and I'm doing it all the time. My you know, my family's used to it at this point. You know what I mean? I try not to abandon them, you know, as much as I do when these stories break. The problem is that, you know, for fantasy, especially during the fantasy season, all of these, you know, crazy things are happening, you know, with, you know, guys getting hurt, who to pick up, all that kind of stuff. That breaking news is so important to get out so quickly. Otherwise, you know, news is during the season, you know, news can be, you know, really pressing 1 minute, and then a couple hours later, like, there's no point in even talking about it, right? Because things move so quickly.
No doubt about it. Before we begin, I want to ask either of you, okay, have you ever heard of a kookaburra?
No. No idea.
No, I'm going to say no, Sal. It sounds familiar, but no, I'm going to say no.
Okay. I had never heard of a kookaburra until I heard a kookaburra while in Australia. Woke up to one of the most interesting sounds I'd ever heard in my life. I want you, when we're done here, to go and you can do this. You can go find and play something online of a sound of a kookaburra. It sounds something like the early morning when the sun rises. Okay. It sounds, I'm not kidding, something like this. And it's amazing. And it terrified the living crap out of me, but it was also the most amazing sound I've ever heard. And I'm like, that was cool.
That sounds
Sal,
like
how many times have you
drinks?
Have you practiced that, Sal? I thought that was pretty good. Like, I don't know what it actually sounds like, but I kind of want it to sound like that.
All right. Well, listen, I also think that it might have sounded like that when the Bills traded Stephon Diggs here back in Buffalo. Matt, you were here for it. Yeah. I was in Australia, and there was a lot of fallout from that. Real quick, before we get into the receivers and Faraz, Matt, latest thing is the tweet that he liked. Does it change your perspective on anything from Stephon Diggs? And he liked a tweet, basically someone saying Bills have the worst fan base because look at all these people in the comments, and he liked it.
It's a breakup. This is not to be unexpected. First off, he was the most cryptic man on social media that's ever played for a Buffalo sports organization. So no, this should not surprise anybody at this point. They broke up. It is a very public breakup. You go through every single stage of this. Right now, he's probably pissed off. He's probably like, listen, I was the best receiver that team has had in 20 years. They don't acknowledge me. It's like Roman Reigns WrestleMania. Stephon Diggs wants to be acknowledged, and nobody's saying anything to him. So, no, I don't think that this is a surprise. I don't think that it should change anything. This is just life with Stephon Diggs, and now it's life after Stephon Diggs here in Buffalo.
For us, from a football standpoint, before we get into the fantasy part and before we get into the draft part, from a football standpoint, are you with a lot of the national media who feel the Bills are kind of taking a step back here this year? They're kind of resetting, and maybe it might be a year where they have to wait. Or do you feel like a lot of people here in Buffalo say, like, look, they're still fine. They still have a really talented roster. And of course, they have Josh Allen.
They have a talented roster. They still have Josh Allen. I do think that a lot of people are downplaying this offense a little bit too far, because, you know, when Josh Allen's your quarterback, you can make a lot happen out of nothing. And when you look at how the Bills, you know, towards the second half of the season, when Joe Brady came in and took over, Stephon Diggs, you know, while he was on the field and he was dictating a lot of coverage, he wasn't necessarily overused, right? He wasn't necessarily somebody that they had to depend on. Now, obviously, when Diggs is on the field, double coverage and a lot of coverage going his way, which obviously helps the offense immensely, even if he wasn't getting the ball on a particular play. But I do think that, you know, with, They have a very interesting draft position here, yes, right at the end of the first round, where they can go a lot of different directions in terms of which wide receiver they end up going. Now, if they don't go wide receiver at that pick, you know, then you got to start thinking about, all right, what are they really going to be doing? They really have to try and hit, you know, later on in the draft if they can. But I do think that, listen, you know, I really, really like the Curtis Samuel signing. I think that was an underrated signing. Now, is he an ex receiver, you know, kind of replacing what Stephon Diggs can do? Of course not. But I think he's a very, very good complementary piece. Obviously, you have a very good slot receiver in Khalil Shakir as well. I think a lot of people might be overrating Khalil Shakir, even though I was a huge fan of Shakir coming in, watching him at the Senior Bowl, and then him coming in. I think he has some more left on the table there in terms of what he could do for this offense, but I do still think they are missing that number one wide receiver on this offense.
Now, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. We're 2 weeks away, right? As we've gotten closer to the draft, I am almost expecting a trade-up. Like, I really do not think the Bills are going to take a receiver 28. Now, there's two layers to this, though. Do they trade all the way up and try and get into the top 10 and do like a Julio Jones-type trade? Or do they make a smaller trade up to try and lock in a guy like a Brian Thomas Jr. or like an A.D. Mitchell? So I know there's a lot of different ways we could go, but I want to start with the top three guys. Just from your vantage point, how good are they? Because all offseason, it's like the big three, the big three, the big three. How good are they? And do you have any kind of tiers within that own tier of itself?
Yeah, they are really good. Okay, this top three, you know, I'm not going to say anything wild here and say that, you know, one of these top three don't deserve to be in the top three. I think they are all in one tier. If I had to split it up, it would probably be 1A with Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers in that 1A tier. And then that 1B tier, probably Roma Dunze, right? And I think the main difference between those two tiers is that the first two guys I mentioned, they have very, very good production production and efficiency profiles to go along with what you're seeing on tape. But then when you watch Roma Dunze and his route running at his size and his contested catchability, you know, on film, you know, it's for me personally, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being the the most valuable wide receiver in a couple of years out of these three. But the production profile, the efficiency profile, they're not as good as those other guys. And that's the only knock that I see there for Rome Odunze. And on top of that, a little bit lesser competition in terms of, you know, who he went up against, right?
Also, yeah, let me ask you this, Faraz. When you say you think... You know, he could be one of being the best one. Is that because he has a more complete game? Like, what do you love about him versus the other guys? Not when you say that's so funny, because it's not like you don't like the other guys. You love them too, right? But what would maybe, if let's say he has, at the end of the day, 10 years from now, we're like, man, Odunze had the best career. Why would he have the best career?
I think he is probably the most refined route runner among the three. Number one. Number two, the contested catch ability is probably the best among the three. And he also has after the catch ability as a true X receiver. Can you say that Malik Nabers can be a true X receiver in the NFL? Maybe, right? Justin Jefferson was able to prove that wrong coming out of LSU, running out of the slot, and then, you know, playing on the outside at an extremely, you know, productive pace, right? And now you have something similar with Malik Nabers having to prove the same thing. Now, I think in the samples that we've seen of him running on the outside as a perimeter wide receiver, he had no problems against man coverage, right? He's a very explosive. He has a very amazing release package. And, you know, top of his routes are extremely clean. But I think Odunze, you know, has, you know, at his size, speed, you know, contested catch ability, he kind of has the entire package.
Couple different things with trade up partners. First off, do you think it would be a good idea? Like, because the teams that I'm circling right now for the Bills, if Brandon Bean decides to, you know, lose it and trade all the way up into the top 10, the Giants at 6 and the Bears at 9. The Giants at 6, I think, happens for a couple. I don't think it happens. I'm saying if it does happen, it's because there's a run on quarterbacks and they want to try and move back to get more ammunition to eventually make a trade up for a quarterback maybe next year. For the Bears, they've only got 4 picks. So it's like, oh, okay, do we have enough holes that we need to try and recoup assets? Do you think it would be smart to move all the way up and give up 2 ones in a second to go do that? Or do you think the class is good enough that you should wait for a little bit and see if one of those other guys can kind of fall closer to you?
You know, it really depends on how sure of a thing that you want, right? And I think you mentioned two particular guys, A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas Jr., who both... While you look at what they can do, they're extremely promising, but are they sure things? And I say the answer to that question is no, especially Brian Thomas, where he, in my opinion, needs a little bit more development to become that true X receiver. Can he become is he already a very, very good field stretcher at his size, at his speed? Yes. Contested catch rate, all that stuff is there. A.D. Mitchell, I think, is a little bit more of a complete receiver, although the production profile is extremely limited, just like Brian Thomas. You don't have those type of questions with those top three guys, right? So if you want that, if you want to go in and show everybody, you know, that, you know, in the Bills community that, hey, we're going to replace Stephon Diggs right here, it's one of those three guys, right? So if you're going to be trading up into the top 6 to potentially grab a Malik Nabers, if you're going to be going into the top 10, maybe a little bit later at 9, you know, before the Jets pick, if Rome Odunze is there, right? I think that is worth it, right? Because you're going to be drafting that next top wide receiver. Because listen, like everybody's talking about the Bills, like it has their Super Bowl window been shut now that Stephon Diggs is out, now that a lot of these other veterans that have been cap casualties are out. You add a Rome Odunze there, they're back.
Faraz Siddiqui joining us here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. And let's take a pause here for a second and then let's talk on the other side about what it would take and whether or not it would be worth it, because I have a comparable that we've talked about a lot.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Frost, thanks for joining us here, and it's always Game Day in Buffalo. We really appreciate it. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove. All right. There's one, we talk about moving that far up, but come on, to do that, it would cost so much draft capital. We have a template for this, though, for us. 2011, Julio Jones, the Atlanta Falcons. They go from 27 to 6, right? I'm sorry, was it 4? So I have to go up and look at it. Where did they go? Sixth overall. And they gave up so much. Let me just go back, and it was 5 draft picks, including 27 overall. Their first rounder the following year, it was a 2. There was a 4 in there. I mean, that's what it would cost. Because this draft is so flush with wide receivers, is it worth it, even if you're going to get one of those top 3, to do something like that?
You know, I'm looking at a couple of these wide receivers later on in the first draft, right? Like you look at those two guys that we mentioned, right? There are other guys who are potentially safer. Like I look at someone like Ladd McConkey, you know, who you could potentially even trade down a couple picks and still grab, like maybe, you know, grab like that extra pick, you know, later rounds, and grabbing McConkey maybe at the top of the second. Right. If he's still there, if the Chiefs don't grab him. Right. You know, now that the Chiefs got Marquise Brown, like, do they go wide receiver in, you know, with that first pick? I don't know if they do. If they didn't have Hollywood, then I'm a little worried there. Right. Then maybe I stay put and reach for someone like McConkey. I think he's one of the safest wide receivers in this draft. In my opinion, I think he's one of the best route runners. And while he might not play that X receiver role, I think he could play the flanker role. And we've seen Diggs transition from that X receiver role, playing on the line on every play. Over the last couple of years, he transitioned out of that a little bit, right? More than 50% of his routes have been off the line, right? Running as that Z, you know, as that flanker. So, and I think McConkey can kind of come in, play that role. That's the role I kind of see Curtis Samuel playing, to be honest with you, that flanker Z, you know, maybe switching up with Khalil Shakir a little bit, slot, you know, outside. But I think McConkey is somebody who can come in and be good enough where Josh Allen can elevate this entire group.
You know, he kind of showed his hand a little bit, Ladd McConkey, saying that he has met with the Bills multiple times. Most of the guys have, but he said it on, I believe, the Kay Adams show, that he's already met with them multiple times. So we know there's interest there. When we're recording this, it sounds like Troy Franklin is in town for a visit. I'm sure that they've had conversations with Keon Coleman, Xavier Ward. Like, the list goes on. But are there any other players that you think would be a really good fit for the Bills if they do ultimately stay at 28?
Yeah, I think if they do end up staying, now the guy I don't want them to grab is Keon Coleman, to be honest with you. And, you know, I'm a positive guy, right? I like talking
positive.
He's a
polarizing guy. He is
extremely polarizing. But, you know, I do think that he, you know, you have someone like Stephon Diggs, you want to replace someone like that who's really good separator, right? One of the best route runners in the NFL. And, you know, with somebody who doesn't necessarily separate with the best of them and is more of a contested catch, non-separating wide receiver, in my opinion, whereas someone like A.D. Mitchell can come in and be that guy, right? I'm not convinced that A.D. Mitchell is going to be drafted early on. Now, his NFL combine performance definitely is going to attract a lot more teams than they would have. But, like, at this point, I'm looking at someone like him who could potentially be there. If he's not there, then I do think Ladd McConkey, you know, would be that guy. Now, Troy Franklin and Xavier Worthy, they also don't fit that X receiver type of guy, right? Like, the fact that they signed, the fact that they ended up going out in free agency and grabbing Curtis Samuel, that to me, and also remember, like, that there's a big connection between Curtis Samuel and Joe Brady, right? He had his best year under Joe Brady several years ago. I think he plays that role. So I do think that they're going to go out and try to get that separating receiver who could play the X.
Well, I'm also thinking about guys like Xavier Leggett, guy like Ricky Pearsall. There's so much value a little bit later. I love Xavier Leggett. I think that's a guy. You look at his backstory too, where he came from. He kind of screams Bill's DNA. Everything this kid ever had, he had to work really hard for, coming from where he came from. And Ricky Pearsall, another guy from Florida, right? These are guys that man, if you want to trade up, you're giving up capital that costs you to take them a little bit later, where I really don't. Now, look, Brandon Bean joked on the Pat McAfee show, you're going to take a receiver every pick. I don't think that, but I don't think it's off the table they take a couple in the first few picks.
Now, I do like, you know, later on, like I do like Xavier Leggett is so, I think he's even more polarizing than some of the other guys you mentioned, like Keon Coleman, because it's so rare for a fifth year breakout to end up, you know, being successful in the NFL. Now, can he be the guy who, you know, kind of like is the exception to the rule? Yes, I potentially, you know, I saw him firsthand at the Senior Bowl as well. He, you know, first day of practice, you know, not amazing, but like he really bounced back in days two and three at practice. I think, you know, we're at his build, at his size, he could definitely be that guy. Another guy, Tez Walker, right? He's another guy who is a field stretching receiver who might have a little bit more upside than Brian Thomas Jr. if he can put it all together. I think that he can be end up being a more complete receiver. And I think that's what the Bills are looking for. Now, if you go even further down the line, let's say that they don't end up grabbing that X receiver. You mentioned Ricky Pearsall. I think he falls into that slot receiver, right? You know, with Roman Wilson. But then you have someone like Javon Baker, right? Yes. Johnny Wilson.
I was literally just going to ask you about Javon Baker.
Good, good. I think Javon Baker is one of those guys who is going probably one of the most overlooked receivers in this draft class, who might end up being a round four guy, right, when it's all said and done. And I think round four receivers, you know what, they don't really pan out a whole lot, right?
Well, the Bills took one in round four from the same school.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty good job from the last 4 years of Gabe Davis.
These are the exceptions to the rule. You know, even, you know, Gabe Davis, you know, if you ask me, like, he was a solid receiver, right? And I think Bills fans are going to be happy with what they have replaced him with, to be honest with you. And I think moving forward, you know, you mentioned those guys. I think Javon Baker can step in as an X receiver. If you look at the production profile, efficiency profile of Javon Baker, also, you know, in the Power Five, right? It's not like he played outside the Power Five or anything like that. He looking pretty good. Yards per route run, all the metrics that you want to see is there. And the film is there as well. He was there at the Senior Bowl too. So I think he's somebody that the Bills should, you know, be targeting, you know, later on, even if they do end up taking a wide receiver early on.
Sal, do you have any other or any other wide receiver questions? Because I do have one fantasy question that I want to ask.
I want to look at the top of the draft. I think that if you look at where it falls, and Matt was talking about, you know, where to get to, right now, I think the Bears are still very much. Yeah, I know they traded for Keenan Allen. They were very much in on Gabe Davis. I know that as well. I think they're going to try and load up to help out Caleb Williams, who's presumably the number one pick. That's got to be the spot if you want to get Roma Dunze. I think that's the spot. He doesn't go further than nine. So you tell me how you think it plays out up there. Like, where are these guys going? How quickly will they come off the board, given what we're probably going to see at the top of the board at quarterback and then the flush wide receiver group, obviously?
I can see him moving past the Bears. The fact that they brought in Keenan Allen. Okay. Now, is this going to end up being a one-year thing with Keenan Allen? Potentially. Will they end up bringing in... if I were the Bears, yes, I think I would try and bring in Roma Dunze to try to help him out. I think they do still need some offensive line help. They need some help, you know, outside of the offensive skill positions, you know, on that defense as well. So I think there are some holes to fill that the Bears might end up moving towards. I think I like the idea of drafting that young wide receiver to pair with Odunze, but the fact that they have DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, and, you know, and Keenan Allen, you know, that's enough for Caleb Williams to succeed early on in his career. I think the Bears might even be the team that you trade with, right? Because if you think that the Bears are going to draft the wide receiver, you want to end up getting ahead of them, right, in the draft. And I think the Jets, you know, at 10 is the team that will definitely be taking Roma Dunze if he's available. So I don't think he's going to move past 10. So I think there's a potential that he slides past 9 and, you know, and ends up going to the Jets. And, you know, what better way to take Roma Dunze than trading, you know, listen, I'm a Jets fan. I'm going to admit on this podcast. Okay. It is what it is. Okay. You guys didn't know that. I'm dropping bombs right now, you know, on this show. but
Brock Bowers, I think that's the guy a lot of Jets fans wanted. Is that kind of a spot you think, let's say Dunze is gone.
If Dunze is gone,
Bowers.
if Odunze is gone, you know, I would love to take an offensive lineman, you know, to be honest with you, to try to really go all in. Like, will Brock Bowers, you know, be that guy to, you know, make a huge impact in year one? Maybe, you know, like tight ends are, you know, you never know when they're going to make an impact. It could take a couple of years, right? Dalton Kincaid, you know, was, you know, an exception. Like, last year's class was an exception to the rule with these tight end, rookie tight ends just making a huge impact. I don't think that's going to happen all the time, even with Brock Bowers being one of the best prospects at the position that we've seen in a long time.
Is this, my fantasy question is it as simple in dynasty drafts as the top three receivers or the top three picks? And then whoever the Bills take is the fourth pick. Does that feel how it's going to go?
That's kind of how it feels like it's going to go, man. I really do. I think, you know, the top three picks for sure, right? And that guy, and then probably Bob Brock Bowers after that, right? I think that's kind of the order it's going to go in.
All right. Okay. Interesting. Final thing from me before we let you go here, we really appreciate your time. Where does J.J. McCarthy get drafted?
I think he's going to slip all the way down to the Vikings. I don't think the Vikings are going to have to trade up. I think that as teams continue to evaluate, I don't think the Giants, I think the Giants would be the team that the Vikings would have to worry about. And if I had to guess here, I don't think the Giants make that move. I think the Giants end up drafting Malik Nabers at five.
Interesting.
At six. And then I think the Vikings can stay put where they're at and end up drafting JJ.
It's you think the first three picks are quarterbacks though, right?
I think it's going to be, you know, I think the Commanders are, you know, it would be very much in the cards for the Vikings to trade up into the top three,
right?
Because of that extra first rounder that they just grabbed. Like, it seems like they're scheming up something. There's no guarantee that's going to happen, right? And I think if those top three teams really, really like the quarterbacks that they're about to draft, like, I just don't see that happening. In which case, like, okay, now do you hop in front of the Giants, right? And that's I'm not sure that the Giants are going to be happy taking J.J. McCarthy at six. I'm sorry.
All right, Matt, you got anything else before we let Faraz go?
No, just tell everybody where they can follow your stuff, hear you, read you, all that kind of stuff as we get ready for the draft.
Yeah, we you know, Upper Hand Fantasy, we have the Upper Hand Fantasy podcast also in the Odyssey family, and Upper Hand Fantasy on Instagram is probably the best place where we put out most of our content, where most of our community is active.
I know you're in Jersey. I know you said you're a Jets fan. Are you a Yankees fan or a Mets fan?
I'm a Mets fan.
Come on. What is going on here? I
grew up in Flushing, Queens.
I get it.
You have to.
You know, yeah, from Shea Stadium and Citi Field. So it was one of those things where, you know, Jets and Mets is how we, you know, not a great way to do it, to be honest with you. Okay.
My college roommate was from East Northport, New York, and was a big Mets fan. I was a Yankees fan. We're in college together, freshman year at Syracuse University. His name is Joe Scarola. Shout out to Joe. Nice Italian guy. And, you know, we have Yankees, Mets, 4 years, become really good friends. And after Syracuse, he gets a job in the Mets ticket office, low level, just wants to work. He's getting a job. One day, it's a true story. One day, he, late 90s, there's a phone call. His mom answers and goes, yeah. Now, this is before cell phones and all that. And his mom goes, yeah, somebody says they're Bobby Valentine. Now, he thought it was one of his buddies playing a trick on him. It was really Bobby Valentine. And he said, hi, Joe. He said, we need somebody in our video scouting department. And your resume came across because you went to Syracuse and have video experience. So he took a job in the video scouting department. And now, 25 years later, my college roommate, Joe Scarola, is a vice president and runs the video scouting department for the New York Mets. So there you go.
No kidding. About
that. That is so cool. I love that.
That's a great story, right? I know. Not having the start you want. The Yankees are. But in the meantime, Faraz, thank you so much. And we're going to, I'm sure, hit you up at some point again before or after the draft. We'll break it all down, buddy.
It's always good talking to you guys.
All right. You got it, Faraz. Thank you very much. We're going to let you go. And Matt and I are going to talk a little bit more about the Bills. Thanks a lot, Faraz.
Faraz
Siddiqui from Upper Hand Fantasy. All right. So, Matt, the Bills had a move after Stephon Diggs that we haven't really discussed. Bills brought in Lael Collins. This is a guy that, if you remember, years ago, he had a situation where he was going to be a first round pick, and then he something happened. There was a legal situation where they didn't allow him to go into the draft, or he didn't. So he did the supplemental draft. There was like this, all these teams, who's going to take them? And the Cowboys kind of snatched him up. Like, yeah, they added to that great offensive line they had several years ago. And now he's on his third team after going to the Bengals. Now he'll be on the Bills. A bit of a surprise to me add for the Bills to get Lael Collins, who's a good lineman. They get him on a deal that seems like they're going to be paying him some decent money here. But why do you think that they brought in a free agent offensive lineman here at this stage in the game, especially someone that's got some skin on the wall?
It's interesting because I think he probably, now we don't know all the details of the contract yet, but the initial look at the contract feels like he's paid too well to just be a backup tackle, right? So then you're like, well, what are they doing? I definitely think he's their swing tackle, right? Like, that's not even a question. But is there a chance he plays guard? Is there a chance that they don't have David Edwards play guard and they have him try and play guard? Like, because that's, is it out of the realm of possibility?
I think it's basically he becomes your all versatile swingman, like a Ryan Bates. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Do you mean start? I guess he could compete. Yeah, you want competition. I would not take it off the table that he could wind up starting at guard. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they go into the season thinking he's going to be their starting guard. I think that's going to be David Edwards right now for what they think. Is it off the table? No. I think it becomes kind of your Ryan Bates, which is can pretty much play any position. I guess not center. He's not really a center. David Edwards can actually play center as well. But to me, that's what this is. But the reason why I think they did it, Matt, I'm trying to follow the breadcrumbs here of what moves Brandon Bean has made before the draft. He has the trade for Stephon Diggs, trades him out, gets an extra second round pick. Now, I know they gave up a couple of picks, one this year, one next year. They get the extra second. They're loading up a little bit on some draft capital. If he wants to make a move up, a significant move up, we think it would cost next year's first. Well, it's a lot easier to do that if you have an extra second next year. You know what else would happen? If you do that, you're void of some other draft picks where maybe you might earmark for getting a little depth. You sign a guy like Lael Collins, now you kind of take care of that. You don't have to worry about getting depth in the drafted offensive line. I think it still screams to me, it goes back to maybe them still trying to do what they have to do to make sure they're not in a position where they can't move up in the draft and feel like we are okay to do this because we've set ourselves around the board.
I really do think it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm almost anticipating that we're sitting in the draft room on draft night and all of a sudden the TV flips to the Bills being on the clock. Like, I'm just, so maybe your point is valid that they just want to have everything else taken care of so they can kind of just go all out and try and get a receiver. I don't necessarily know if they would be thinking that far ahead just because you need to see how the draft actually falls. Like, I even think back to the year that they drafted Josh when it sounded like they had a deal in place with the Broncos, but then Bradley Chubb falls and the Broncos don't make the move and then they start to scramble. So Brandon Bean could have, you know, productive conversations with Joe Shane or with Ryan Poles or with somebody in the top 10 and have kind of like the framework set. But if something weird happens, then that could all be kind of pushed to the back burner. So I don't know if you would be making moves to give yourself that flexibility. I think that you just kind of figure it out afterwards, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's what they did with Puna Ford last year. If you remember, Brandon Bean told us after they signed Puna Ford, which was after the draft, he said, yeah, they were talking about it and they could have signed him before the draft, but they wanted to see how the draft played out. And like, you know what? Mm-hmm. There's a couple of D tackles we might like, but they didn't want to force themselves. They knew they had Puna Ford maybe right there on the back burner. And then they did it. In this case, that's why I wonder, why did they not wait? If they maybe, I mean, it could be because Lael Collins might have had offers. Of course, that could be the case. But in this case, they didn't wait. They did it and they kind of shored it up beforehand. So I keep thinking they're doing things to kind of make sure that they feel really comfortable about not having to be without those picks where they maybe could get some extra depth along the way. I think it's fascinating, though, because I still think it points a lot to a reasonable chance that they trade up in this draft. And I think they could really make a significant move up.
What do you think is more likely? A significant move up, a small move to try and get one of those next two guys, or that they stay put? What do you think is more likely to happen?
I think the most likely is a small move up because that's just what he's done. And I also think that as much as he might want to move up significantly, I think it's hard to do. I mean, the cost could be so astronomical and there's other teams you're bidding with. I just think that the ability to do it. So to me, I'm thinking Brandon Bean wants to do that. That's the most likely thing he wants to do. But I think the most likely thing he can do is a smaller move up.
What was, as we wrap out this podcast, is there anything else Bills related that you would like to talk about?
I don't think so. I could be missing something, but no, I don't think so. Yes, real quick. By the time people hear this, it could be probably the last time we're doing it. Workouts start on Monday. They're actually getting back to the facility and having their first team workout. It's voluntary, but workouts start Monday. Just wanted to throw that out there so everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah, we're getting close. We should be back at the facility a couple different times over the next few weeks. And then obviously the draft starts, which is fun. What was your favorite part of your trip?
There were so many great parts of it. I think maybe the favorite part might have been watching Max like hold a koala and feed and pet kangaroos and how awesome that was for him. Like to see that. That was cool. Like going to the Australian zoo where Steve Irwin worked, like super cool. That might have been it, but there were so many great things. There was one other thing I liked a lot, which was we went on a hike basically on this. It's called North Point, Sederbrook, I think it's called. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Anyway, it was a really cool. It's like this gorge, you know, like this beautiful walk. It was really cool to just go on that hike.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Would you go back? Like, have you, now that you've done it, you're like, okay, like for me, I've always felt that way about a couple places that I've traveled to that I'm very happy I've been there, but now I don't feel like I need to go back. Do you feel like now that you've done it, you definitely want to go back and do more? Or you're like, well, now next time I do this big, you know, once in a lifetime trip, I would rather go somewhere else.
I definitely want to go back. But the reason why is because we only did Brisbane because our friends live there. I want to go to Sydney and Melbourne, or at least Sydney and see that. Now, people don't realize, and I mean, you can look at a map and say, okay, but Australia is almost as big as the United States or continental United States. If you go
Brisbane, really?
Yes. It's,
oh my God. I had no idea.
Right? Yeah. It's 2.9 million miles. United States is like 3 point something. So yeah. And if you, I actually did it. If you go on Google and say, US, Australia map over US and you could see it. But anyway, going from Brisbane to Sydney is the same as going from Buffalo to New York City, essentially. Okay, so it's not an easy trip. How about this? This is how it gives you an idea of how far it is. Going from Brisbane to Perth is the same as going from Buffalo to LA.
That's nuts. I legitimately had no idea that Australia, I would have thought Australia was a third of the size of the continental US.
Crazy,
or
right?
Even a fourth of the size. I would have never had any idea that it was that big. I've never been there. I've never been past Europe. So that's like the farthest out that I've been.
It depends on which way you go, I guess, to say which way you pass. But no, we would like to. And by the way, we were there with friends. So we have friends there. It makes it easier to say to go back. 2032, Brisbane, where we were, is having the Summer Olympics, which is really cool.
Oh, were they already like doing a bunch of work or is that start later?
They're already building stuff. They're bringing, there's a new stadium going on, one thing to do some stuff, and a new subway station. And we see all this. It's a very modern city. Very, you know, when you go to some cities, you know how you go to some cities and the buildings are just newer. You know what I mean? Like it's a very modern city. So had a great time. Really glad to be back. And we are going to be seeing some, in some way, shape, or form, you know, Bills players back at the facility next week, Matt. It's hard to believe. It's crazy. It's already here. And then the draft in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's like an incredible stretch of a few weeks now that we've kind of gone through the doldrums of the offseason. But now we've got workouts that start. We've got the draft. We've got a fun conversation with Mike North that we have planned. We have the schedule release coming up. And then after that, it's all of the mandatory stuff that begins. So it's like just when you think that things are slowing down, we've pretty much gone through the slowest part of the NFL calendar, except for mid June to mid July. That's when everything basically shuts down.
Right after mandatory mini camp until training camp starts.
Yep. Which is fine. That's when we'll take a break.
All right. Well, we are not going to take a break talking about the Bills. We'll talk to you next time. And that will be right around when the Bills report back for their first day of offseason workouts, which starts Monday, May 15th. Thanks a lot to Faraz Siddiqui from Upper Hand Fantasy.
April 15th.
What did I say? Oh,
May.
Thank you. April 15th. Thank you for correcting me. Thanks a lot to Faraz for joining us here. And of course, to our producer, Mike Rabier. I'm Sal Capaccio. He's Matt Bove. And we'll talk to you next time. It's always game day in Buffalo.